This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Monday, March 30th edition of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by our friends at Y West Storage. Secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. Call Y West to reserve your unit today. These are all 406 numbers, of course, 510-0590 for Y West. Quality seamless gutters, offering expert gutter installation and repair. Call 728-4002 for quality seamless gutters and get a free quote. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy duty truck sales, parts and service. Call 541-9097 for Bruckner's. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. Call 406-550-3219. Again, that's Pivots Plus. All right, and Pivots Plus is Montana's leader in irrigation parts, service, and sales. Call 683-4418. Gomer's Diesel Incorporated. Diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Give Gomer's a call, 728-7620. Harrington Surgical Supply, providing medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. Call 721-8468.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. It's March is, what, going out like, not like a lion, I guess. It's just kind of cloudy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Good morning, Mr. Nick. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning.
Mr. Nick Christensen over there, the fabulous Nick Christensen, of course, getting ready to take your phone calls. We have open phones for the first hour. Is that right?
No, first half hour.
Half hour.
And then Dr.
Okay.
John Lott will join us at 8:30 with the Crime Prevention Research Center.
All right, good deal.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, too. Yeah, I'm sure he does. All the fatal shootings that have occurred over the last, what, just a couple of weeks, I'm sure has got him writing all sorts of articles about what's going on. We really enjoy the fact that he takes calls from our listeners and answers them all. We appreciate that. But right now, we've got open phones from now until 8:30. So if there's something on your mind, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Even if it's just the weather or just kind of dreary outside or whatever, you know, give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. We would love to hear from you. So were you glued to the tube all weekend with the NCAAs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, every time this time of year comes around, I am locked and loaded and watching every game and betting almost every game.
Wow.
And, I very, very, very much do not like Duke. And so that was very, very exciting yesterday.
They lost by one, yeah.
Yeah, in one of the most dramatic fashions I've seen that I can even remember to date. So that was that was a lot of fun.
Well, we got folks calling in right now. It is open phones for this first half hour. And then, of course, we'll have Dr. John Lott on from 8:30 until 10. We're taking your phone calls this morning, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. I want to go ahead and take our break now and give plenty of time for our callers. We have Tim and Emmett both standing by. Should we do that?
We'll take a break, yeah.
You bet. We'll take our first commercial break right now, and you can fill up the phone lines if there's something on you. Somebody else is calling it, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Coming right back after this.
Hey, Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Early on, a chance of rain and snow showers becoming mostly cloudy through the afternoon. As we warm up with highs near 47 degrees, winds will pick up out of the west this afternoon. Some gusts could get up to about 26 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation about 40%. Little to no snow accumulation expected in those higher valleys. Tonight, partly cloudy and cold, down to about 22 degrees with clearing skies. Tuesday looks mostly sunny and milder with a high near 54.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for. Harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet. Or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community, at local pharmacies, or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Listen, retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Before we even get to our first call, I want to say thank you to everybody who's calling in to start the show. We appreciate it. We have open phones till 8:30. Tim is up first. Tim, thanks for holding. Good morning, sir.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Peter and Mr. Nick. Well, hello. This is Colonel Tim Gardeby. I'm calling from the non-kingdom. The big news over the weekend was the No Kings rally nationwide. They even had a big one here in Missoula. And because of the news, I just thought, well, I thought that silly nonsense deserves a silly skit. So I designed a skit.
Go for it.
Okay. The name of this one is Cheech and Chong See a No Kings Rally.
All right. Okay.
Hey, man, look, man, a bunch of people out protesting Elvis, man. Hey, what you talking about? Elvis was the king, man. He was the king of the rock and roll. Man, hey, my Bruce Wayne shoes. Hey, trust me, there's no real kings, man. We have no kings or rulers in this country. Because, man, we vote. Hey, maybe they protested Michael Jackson, man. He was the king of the pop, man. You had a Thriller and the White Face and stuff. What they ought to be protesting is no Jax, man. Dude, you have to have Jax and Kings and Aces to play with a full deck. I'm talking about that dude who sold me that Rambler, man. Next day, I got a flat tire on the 405 and I had... Yeah, that they ought to be protesting New Jax, man.
You are taking me way, way back to my college days with Cheech and Chong. It's amazing. Pretty good job,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, man. Same thing happened to me when I bought that Impala lowrider. Yes. They protest New Jax, man. New Jax. He ought to go play with the full deck. Yeah, full deck, man. That's why I listen to KGBO radio, man. Because I learned we fought off the king, and now we live in a constitutional republic. Yeah, man. The end.
And now you got a couple of jokers in the deck, so there you go. Colonel Tim, thanks. Always a pleasure to hear your voice, sir, and all your voices. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Emmett is standing by. Emmett, good morning, sir. You are on TalkBack. What's up?
Oh, well, I really thank Colonel Tim Gardeby for lightening up the show. That was fantastic. I never cared for Cheech and Chong, but that was fantastic. It really made my day. That was wonderful because I was really upset about the No Kings protest. I thought it was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous for so many reasons, but that's not why I called in. But I guess I called in. I'm still upset with the whole murder of Nancy Guthrie and all that kind of thing, because they were talking about the case is still cold. Savannah Guthrie, I believe it was Savannah Guthrie, that had a tearful response, please let our mother come home, this kind of thing. Please, if you have any leads. Here's the problem. I wonder if we're not all handling this all wrong, if the society or the family or someone, the law enforcement, isn't handling this all wrong. You see, a psychopath enjoys that kind of a careful response. That's the enjoyment they're getting in their head, wherever this psychopath is. He may have even fled the country. I think he may have murdered Nancy Guthrie and just taken the money and disappeared. Here's what needs to happen. I think the federal government needs to get involved and have a $20 million bounty on the head of whoever did this. Wanted, dead or alive. Remember the Old West posters you had in bars and saloons? Wanted, dead or alive. $20 million, tax-free. That wouldn't be a bad idea. And an angry response from the family or the government, like, we're closing in, Interpol's coming for you, And when we find you, you know, bad stuff is going to happen. Surrender peacefully. You might live. But if you don't, the hammer's coming down because Interpol, even if you fled the country, we're coming for you. Just make them afraid. And any accomplices that they that this person had, they're going to be afraid, too. Because, we can't plead for mercy with these killers. These are psychopaths, and they're enjoying this. We need to make them afraid. I'm just really still upset that the whole thing went cold. And, I've dealt with psychopaths myself. Psychopaths like this, I have no compassion for. They're just horrible people. They enjoy killing people for no reason. And I'm sure our next guest is going to, Dr. Lott is going to have a lot to say about this kind of thing, too. And I'm going to call and ask about a few questions about some other things. But, thank you. And thanks for Colonel Tim for lightening the mood and giving us some humor. We need it in these dark times. We need it.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Let's get Nancy on the phone. Nancy, good morning. It is Talk Back, and it's open phones. Obviously, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, morning, Gloria, and I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. And Peter and Nick, you both sound chipper and relaxed and ready to go for another week. I have a couple of talking points, but first, a little bit of my own humor. The No Kings rally, President Trump certainly has the ability to make a lot of fat women walk, much more than Jenny Craig does.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but getting to our talking points, something happened with this Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, J.D. Vance, and a whole of his team. They have discovered that, of course, she did get into the United States using a fraudulent method marriage, and that is illegal according to our Constitution. And they are going to see what is the best way to build a case up against this woman. And the Somalian fraud, they want to really find out exactly just how much did she know about this, how she was involved. And what I find interesting is her homeland, Somalia. They are really trying to get her extradited back to Somalia in Africa. And I don't know if it's maybe to cover their own tracks. Perhaps in this fraud, she sent a lot of this money back to her homeland. Nobody really knows for sure. But anyway, we've got a team working. And like everyone else listening, I want this resolved. I want this solved. And I hope that we can retrieve some of the billions of dollars that were stolen from American taxpayers by the Somalian communities across our country.
Well, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
And the second talking point is this. We've been hearing for several years about this epic city just outside of Dallas, Texas. The Islamic people bought 400 acres. They hired a developer, and it was supposed to be for Muslims only. Of course, this is against our laws. We are a melting pot. And you can't have just one community or one kind of race of people in it. You have to melt. Everybody is treated the same. We have, the legality of home ownership and land ownership extends to everybody. And recently, thank God, Ken Paxton, who is the Attorney General for Texas and also our U.S. Department of Justice, put an end to their developing. They've actually got a Islamic a mosque built. You wouldn't believe the size of this thing. The exterior is completed, but not the interior. They've got 70 houses that they built without building permits because Texas would not cooperate and told them they cannot do this. It's illegal. But the Islamists went ahead and did it anyway. So the good news is this is shut down. And the state of Texas are suing the developers. Now, I don't know where this is going to take them or what they can do with this community now, if they can get this 400 acres back or whatever. But I urge anyone listening to Google this, Epic City, and it's actually been renamed East Planto Islamic Community. But you can find it, and you can get an aerial view of what they have done on this 400 acres. It's just amazing. But that's my words today, and I hope this is Easter week, that we can get in and celebrate our traditional Easter without any Islamist coming after us for retaliation for Iran.
I will just say this. I looked this up. Concerns about potential Sharia law led Texas Governor Abbott to sign House Bill 4211 in September of 2025, which explicitly prohibits creating neighborhoods that require adherence to laws other than Texas law, focusing on preventing restrictive, religiously exclusive housing development. So what they're proposing is already illegal.
Yes, it is, but they have gone ahead, Peter. The developers just will not stop. I mean, no. Muslim people just seem to be so hard-headed, you can't reason with them. I don't understand. They just won't cooperate in any kind of way. And, you know, it's been since 1991 that the bad Islamic have entered our nation. I mean, we've always had Muslims coming here, but they've always blended. And, you know, like Dr. Murdoch Akia that we all love, they've cooperated and they blended into our culture and our society and done very well using our laws, but maintain their own faith and traditions. But we've got some really bad ones here.
Nancy, thanks for the call. With that, we're up against a break. We have a whole bunch of folks. We're going to try to get in between now and 8:30. And, of course, at 8:30, Dr. John Lott will be joining us, answering your questions from that point. So we'll be right back after this.
Don't let the cold.
We're back, and let's go right back to the phones for open phones. Only a few precious minutes left. Brian, you're up first. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I called in on Wednesday and was wanted to ask the county commissioners a question, but instead I got told I was being provocative and ridiculous because I wanted to ask them about a bid preference that they put in back in 2020 for women and minority-owned businesses. So you asked me why I would make such outrageous claims like that, and I provided a couple of examples, but one of them was I said that he had, Slotnick had done an opinion piece in the Missoula Current titled, "I Am a Racist." And I didn't know that they had since changed it. When I printed this out back in 2020, because I figured it would get scrubbed off the internet, it was titled, "I Am a Racist. The Need for Systemic Change Deserves More Than a Fiery Soundbite." So now if you're trying to look it up, it's just, "The Need for Systemic Change Deserves More Than a Fiery Soundbite." That's Slotnick's opinion piece on that bid preference and me calling him a racist. And he, in that article, says 4 times that he is, in fact, a racist. And I'm right. He is racist. So I don't think that's provocative at all to call out and quote our county commissioners, because they were all down and proud of this bid preference, and now they all deny that it exists. And I really just think that that's racist, because it's my understanding a woman, adult human female, that's what that would be, and minorities. A minority is anybody in this area that's not white. Would you agree?
Brian, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get Dave on the line. Dave, good morning, sir. You are on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yes, about the Iran war. The core issue with Iran is the government, or the religious government of Iran. And it's my view on history that from looking at, it's hard to get rid of a religious government. They believe they're on a mission from God. And I don't think bombing Iran alone will eliminate that government of Iran. It's going to require the people of Iran to do the job, and they have no power at the moment. What we should have done, rather than go off and bomb the heck out of Iran, would have been to support a uprising from the general public with weapons and what have you, and avoided actually bombing Iran. And so I doubt Iran is going to surrender at the moment.
All right, Dave, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Let's move on. I believe Jeff is up next. Jeff, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, guys. Peter, Nick, good morning, Montana. 2 things, really, from the Babylon Bee. The first is that millions gather this weekend to profess their ignorance about the U.S. political system. The whole No Kings rally. We don't have kings. So that should not be an issue for people. And then there's a second one and I'm trying to get to it right now. It's a second. It's from the Babylon Bee as well, and it's possibly my favorite headline of all times. It says, Olympics bans all balls from women's sports. In a landmark statement intended to simultaneously clarify lingering questions regarding trans athletes and events and prevent any future confusion in the potential confusion in the future, the International Olympic Committee announced it was banning all balls from women's sports. We're not allowing any balls, just to be safe. We've heard the outrage over men competing against women. And in the spirit of fair competition, we've chosen to go the extra mile and not allow the use of any balls in women's events. So
so tennis and basketball, they're all out.
Well, yeah, what they're going to do is they're going to kind of, according, I mean, this is, of course, satire. But what they said is they're going to look at maybe evaluating the same way they do interpretive dancing now.
Okay.
So
it's all, in other words, it's all subjective. Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually, after Brian called last week, I actually went out and looked and found the article he's talking about. And Josh Lotnick did say he was a bigot in the article. And he said he's not, or he's a racist. He said, I'm not a bigot, but I'm a racist because we're all racist because it's systemic and there's nothing we can do about it. So we have to make reparations and amends. So he did say that. I'm going to corroborate it independently, and you can go out there and take a look. I think it was October 2020 that he said it. So,
all right, Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Should we try to get this one more call in? Let's do that, and then we're going to hopefully Dr. John Lott will be calling us here in just a few minutes. Let's see. It gets Rick on. Rick, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys could have arranged to get one of the participants in the No Kings rally on. Because there's 38 kings worldwide. Six of the kings are NATO allied countries. And I was just wondering, since we don't have a king, and this is a serious question, which king or which kings were they actually protesting against? Because they have a thing saying no kings rally, and that's a that's sort of false. That's sort of like fake news, because we don't have a king. But there are 38 kings worldwide, and there's a little cynicism in my question. But I would be interested to have you have a person that attended, so we know which king they were actually protesting.
Well, I would love to have somebody call and do that. Unfortunately, we're out of open phones time. But according to the headline from KPAX, it said thousands marched in the No Kings protest in Missoula this past Saturday. So there you go. Obviously, a lot of people believe in that that particular doctrine.
Okay, well, they should look at our Constitution and they should understand that we don't have a king. Yeah, we have a voted in official. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. With that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. John Lott is on the phone with us. He's the founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and his website, crimeresource.org. And we always have a great time with Dr. Lott. The fact that if you're concerned at all about firearms or anything else going on in the society, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Coming right back with Dr. Lott after this.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
The Grizzly softball team, they have now won six games in a row after completing the sweep against the Portland State Vikings yesterday. Final score, 5-4. The Grizz were tied in the sixth inning. Montana would pull ahead. They've now won six games in a row. They begin 3-0 in Big Sky Conference play. The Grizzlies are now 11-22 overall. They will welcome in Northern Colorado this weekend. Doubleheader on Friday. That begins at 2 o'clock. And then Saturday, a single game at noon. The Montana State women's basketball team, their season comes to an end in the Super 8 of the WNIT bracket. 65-56, South Dakota takes down the Bobcats. Taylee Cherick still had a great day leading the way for the Bobcats. She had four made threes, 23 total points. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Auerwein.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Early on, a chance of rain and snow showers becoming mostly cloudy through the afternoon as we warm up with highs near 47 degrees. Winds will pick up out of the west this afternoon. Some gusts could get up to about 26 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation about 40%. Little to no snow accumulation expected in those higher valleys. Tonight, partly cloudy and cold, down to about 22 degrees with clearing skies. Tuesday looks mostly sunny and milder with a high near 54.
Okay, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls, producing TalkBack this morning. And we are always privileged to have with us Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center founder, and also of the website crimeresource.org. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you so much. All right, so good morning, Dr. Lott. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Great to talk to you again.
So tell us what's been on your plate. What kind of things are you working on right now?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm finishing up a report on looking at all the school shootings in the United States from 2000 through the end of last year. We just finished a report a little while ago on kind of looking at what groups kind of commit terrorist attacks at relatively high rates. Just had a piece in the New York Post on Friday looking at the different types of anti-fraud voting rules across different countries, basically showing that the United States is a real outlier in terms of not protecting against fraud. Those are just a few of the things we've been working on recently.
So the Post article, that's interesting because one of the things I think that this country prides itself in, at least I hope so, is having fair and, unvarnished elections.
Right. I mean, obviously the Senate has been voting on or trying to vote on the so-called SAVE Act, which would require government-issued photo IDs for people to vote and proof of citizenship. And the claim that Democrats are making is that that would primarily disenfranchise blacks and Hispanics. And so one of the things we did was to go and look to see what the rules are around the world. If you look at, for Hispanics, for example, if you look at Mexico or the South American countries or Spain, all of those countries require government-issued photo IDs to be able to go and vote. All of them require that you have to provide proof of citizenship when you register to vote. Mexico's rules are, in fact, for proof of citizenship, exactly the same as what's in the SAVE Act. So it's interesting, that they're Hispanics in the rest of the world seem to be able to meet those requirements. If you look at Africa, for example, all the countries in Africa require government-issued photo IDs to be able to vote. 51 of the 54 countries in Africa require that you have to provide proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. In Europe, of the 47 countries in Europe, all 47 now require that you have to have a government-issued photo ID to be able to go and vote.
Wow.
51 of the 43 of the 47 countries require that you have to... They check your citizenship. All those countries basically have a computerized database of who is a citizen in the country, and they use that to check the registration data. France has rules that are extremely similar to what's being proposed in the SAVE Act, where you have to go and provide either a birth certificate or a passport. Or there are a couple other pieces of identification, which are also in the SAVE Act, in order to register to vote. The only three countries, the UK, Crete, and one other who's slipping my mind for a second, will go and don't require that you have to have that documentation when you register, but they will randomly kind of ask people to prove it. And if you have to prove it, then you have to provide that information.
So what you're saying is when you go to vote, actually, now, what about me? How does this affect mail-in voting?
Well, no other country has mail-in voting. You have, and they don't have it because of fraud. I mean, most countries are, so you have different things. You have absentee voting, which you have to go and kind of request a ballot be sent to you.
Right.
And then you have mail-in voting, where they just send out the mail to everybody who's registered to go and vote. No country, as I say, has mail-in voting other than us. With regard to absentee voting, the vast majority of countries ban absentee voting for people who live in the country. If you look at Mexico, for example, they ban absentee ballots for people living in the country. Basically, South America bans it. If you look at Europe, for example, 37 of the 47 countries in Europe ban absentee voting. Nine of them allow it, but they will not send you the ballots in the mail. You have to go in person and provide a government-issued photo ID before they will give you the absentee ballot. And seven of those nine countries limit it further to people who are either in the hospital at the time of the election or in the military, and they do not take your word for it. You have to get either the hospital or the military to provide certified proof that you will not be available to go and vote in person. And, you know, the thing is, a number of these countries used to have rules similar to what we have in the United States. France, for example, used to have absentee voting similar to what we have, where you can just go and request a ballot. But they discovered, basically because some people got a guilty conscience, that the mafia, primarily on the island of Corsica, but also in other places in France, was literally providing several hundred thousand kind of fraudulent votes. Wow. In each election that was there. As I say, it was not going to be discovered until a few people actually got kind of guilty consciences about it going on. You look at a country like, you know, the one thing I think is important is that in other countries, this is not a controversial issue, trying to do things to reduce vote fraud. It's something that's agreed across political parties. You know, you look at Mexico. Mexico has much stricter anti-fraud rules than a lot of countries do. They adopted them in 1991 because of lots of fraud that was occurring in the country there. And the actual rate that people voted went up dramatically in the five presidential elections prior to 1991, the average turnout for presidential elections was 59%. In the three presidential elections after that, it was 68%.
Wow.
And yet it was very difficult to register to vote. Not only did you have to have that type of documentation, but in the vast majority of states in Mexico, there's only one registrar's office. So in some states, people had to travel literally 100 miles because you had to go in person to register, and then you had to go in person to go and pick up the documents, mm-hmm. the voter ID,
Dr. Lotta,
to be able to go and vote.
Yeah, we're actually past a break. We're going to take a break. We have lots of folks waiting. No, that's okay. We appreciate that explanation. We're going to come right back, and we have Nancy. We have Rick and Emmett all standing by to talk with you, sir. And we'll be right back with Dr. John Lott right after this.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move. when being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Hey, welcome back to TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen producing TalkBack, taking your calls. And Dr. John Lott is our featured guest this morning. Nancy has been waiting the longest to visit with you, sir. So, Nancy, go ahead.
Good morning, Dr. Lott. And that's fascinating information that you shared this morning. I was really educated as to how other countries across the world guard against voter fraud. And yes, and thank you so much for supporting and working for the SAVES Act. We have to have voter ID. We just have to. We're too huge of a country, and we have too many illegal aliens living here. But I want to focus now on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. I heard a soundbite over the weekend by our Vice President J.D. Vance, and of course he's heading a committee that's been investigating this Congresswoman for fraud, for immigration fraud, and also the Somalian fraud. They're trying to get to the bottom as to how much she knew about that. Now, J.D. Vance said they don't quite know how to go about building a case against her. They're looking at different ways and methods. If you could give advice to our vice president on Ilhan Omar, what advice would you give her? And thank you, doctor, and you have a wonderful Easter.
All right. Thanks for the call. Good topic. Dr. Lott, go ahead.
Happy Easter to you, too. I have to say, I'm not a lawyer, so exactly how you revoke citizenship from somebody is a little bit above my pay grade. I mean, I can go and talk about the birthright citizenship stuff that's coming up if people wanted to talk about that, the case before the Supreme Court, a tiny bit. But the my understanding is that even in cases where there's fraud, it can be difficult to go and remove somebody's citizenship, which I guess is one reason why they're being cautious about this so far. I know J.D. Vance said that he was talking to various legal experts about this in general. But, beyond that, I have to say when something's kind of beyond my depth.
Okay, let's try to get another call in before we take a break. Rick, you're on TalkBack with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Lott, I'd like to talk about crime and terrorism. Worldwide, from the 1st of March to the middle of March, there were 8 synagogues that were attacked worldwide. And when are our government organizations like the UN, the Democratic Party, colleges accept government money, when are they going to stop giving passes basically to people who want to commit crimes against Jews? It seems like crimes against Jews is no different than crimes against Christian groups, just normal everyday citizens. But like at the UN, there's a culture that the Jews have whatever is happening. They deserve what they're getting. If you watch some of the UN conversations, the Jews aren't popular. Do you think it's a cultural or a civilized or a cultural underpinning of anti-Semitism that terrorism against Jews is not real terrorism? And I'll just listen to your comments.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Lott, I want to give you plenty of time to answer that very important question. Sure. We're like seconds away from a break here, and I don't want to break into your answer to that. So we'll cover that when we come right back after this quick timeout. Stay with us, please.
At Alcom Illinois.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Early on, a chance of rain and snow showers becoming mostly cloudy through the afternoon as we warm up with highs near 47 degrees. Winds will pick up out of the west this afternoon. Some gusts could get up to about 26 miles per hour. A chance of precipitation about 40%. Little to no snow accumulation expected in those higher valleys. Tonight, partly cloudy and cold, down to about 22 degrees with clearing skies. Tuesday looks mostly sunny and milder with a high near 54.
Okay, we're back on TalkBack. Dr. John Lott joining us on the phone this morning, and I had to play a commercial break there, but I know you're poised to answer the previous question, so please go ahead.
No, thanks. I mean, I actually, in February, I was in Australia. I spent a fair amount of time at Bondi Beach. Actually met with the rabbi there and the for the synagogue right there near the beach. He actually had his grandchildren, and his children were at the beach when the attack occurred. And I can talk about that. And but look, you know, you're right. You're having all these attacks worldwide in March. Obviously, it's timed in part with the war in Iran. So a little earlier, we had put together data on these mass public shootings in the United States from 1998 through the end of last year to try to basically before the war got started, just to see what groups are kind of overrepresented in terms of those types of terrorist attacks. And what we found was that the one group that really, really stands out are attacks by Muslims. They're about 18.2 times their share of the population on average over that period of time in terms of attacks. And, you know, obviously there are other types of attacks like the attack at the beginning of last year in New Orleans when the guy drove his truck through the crowd downtown New Orleans there, murdering 14 people and wounding something like over 40. You know, there's no other group that's even remotely close in terms of it. If you can also break it down by people of Middle Eastern descent. They're you know, overrepresented by a factor of about eight. You know, a lot of people like the Biden administration would constantly be talking about things like attacks by white supremacists and white males. You know, the majority of attacks, about a little bit over 50%, are by whites. White non-Middle Eastern males make up about 64% of the population. So they're actually underrepresented. You see some differences. Blacks and Asians are actually slightly overrepresented, but you know, you're talking about differences of like 30% or something, not, you know, 18-fold differences in terms of their share of the population. Hispanics are slightly underrepresented compared to their share of the population. But, you know, there's definitely something going on there. I mean, you look at the big terrorist attacks in Europe. The biggest terrorist attack there was in Paris in 2015 at the concert shooting there. And that was done by Muslims. You had 130 people were murdered in that attack. So, you know, it's something that we see nationwide occurring and across the world.
Well, let's try to get one more call in before we take our top of the hour break. Emmett, you're on with Dr. Luck. Quickly, what's your question, please?
Well, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, actually, I'll just jump right into it. I was going to talk about the voter ID. I really don't agree with having to get a birth certificate. It's kind of cumbersome, but I do agree with voter ID, like your driver's license or state ID. That's important. But really, there was a disturbing thing of self-defense that I saw in the news where a woman was punished for defending her son against a bully. Now, this is opening a can of worms. But I don't think she should be prosecuted for standing up to the bully. And her son was getting bullied by a bully at school. She kidnapped the bully, took him to her home, and made him apologize to her son and threatened the bully. Don't you even do this again? And the bully ran off. Now she's getting charged with kidnapping, and she's going to lose her job just because she stood up to a bully. It's like, you know, right. if you stand up to a big bully, you're the one in trouble.
Emmett,
how do you feel about that?
We have 2 minutes, so go ahead, Dr. Lott, please.
Well, look, I mean, there are ways to stand up to bullies, and there are ways to stand up to bullies. And I think kidnapping somebody at gunpoint is probably not the way to go about doing that. With regard to what you first started talking about, with regard to the SAVE Act, the Republicans put forward a bill during the debate that would just require the photo ID requirement. And all 47 Democrats voted against that, even though some of them had claimed that they would be willing to support that, kind of along the lines that you were just saying. You know, with regard to what type of identification you need to get registered to vote, even if you were to include that in there, and as I say, one of the bills that were voted on didn't have that. You look at it, and to get a real ID for a driver's license, you have to prove citizenship. You have to have something like, your birth certificate. It's very easy to go and get a birth certificate. All the states, you can do it online. You just go and fill it out, and they'll send it to you. You pay, a small amount there. People have to have this for many different parts of life. As I say, just getting a real ID, that little star on your driver's license.
Right.
You have to be able to go and make that type of proof.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Lott, we are up against our top of the hour break here, and I'm going to ask Harry to be very patient. He's been waiting for a while, and unfortunately, I have the top of the hour break coming up. But Dr. Lott's going to be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. So if you have a question or a comment for Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center, please give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We will get you in the queue and get you in touch with Dr. Lott in the next hour. So please.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is hour number two of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by Gomer's Diesel Incorporated. Diesel part repair, parts, and service in Missoula. Call Gomer's at 728-7620 today. Harrington Surgical Supply provides medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. Call Harrington, 721-8468. Pivots Plus is Montana's leader in irrigation parts, service, and sales. Call Pivots Plus at 683-4418. Busy Bees Cleaning Service is commercial cleaning you can trust. Call them at 550-3219 and get a free estimate. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts, and service. Call 541-9097 for Bruckner's. Quality Seamless Gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. Quality Seamless Gutters, number 728-4002, and they'll give you a free quote. And by Y-West Storage, secure, flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your unit, call 510-0590.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Welcome back. Hour number two underway on TalkBack this morning. I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Questions, and taking your phone calls over there. Good morning again, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we're always privileged to have with us Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center. And he's joining us on the phone. And Harry has been waiting all the way through the break, and we thank him for that. Harry, good morning. Thank you for your patience. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning, John. Yeah, I think everybody should have their ID. ID theft is probably one of the biggest problems there is. So everybody should have their DNA, fingerprints, and photograph on record, accessible to cops and everybody. That way we could kill two birds with one stone, help solve crime, and verify people's ID. But as for this SAVE Act, it's a problem, or solution looking for a problem. I mean, of course, there's always going to be some fraud, but it's like yelling, "Well, we got to stop people from eating cats and dogs." I mean, they do it, but there's so few that actually really matters. And I know it exactly what this is. It's Donald Trump says he won the 2020 and was cheated, and this is the Trump cult trying to validate that claim. And this is, oh, see, he did get cheated out. I mean, so it's. It's like I say, it's a solution looking for a problem. It's not there's not enough voter fraud to really matter.
All right, Harry, thanks for the call. Dr. Lott, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, why do we have to have IDs for everything else in life? You want to go check into a hotel, you have to provide government-issued photo IDs to be able to do that. You want to go fly on a plane, you have to go and provide that. You want to go and buy cigarettes or buy alcohol or buy, you know, certain types of medicine for if you have congestion. You have to provide a government-issued photo ID to be able to go and do that. Why do we apparently are concerned about fraud, about people, you know, checking into hotels and not being who they say they are? But we're not worried about that with regard to something like voting. You know, the thing is also, you know, it's not like, as I talked about before, all these other countries around the world seem to think that fraud or no frauds occurred in those countries. You look at a country like Northern Ireland, for example. In 1985, Margaret Thatcher, a conservative, passed the first voter ID requirements that were there. When Tony Blair, Labour on the left, was in charge in 2002, he made a deal about the case that they were counterfeiting the IDs that were there. And so he passed a law that created tamper-proof government-issued photo IDs to be able to go and vote. So you have both people on both sides of the political spectrum. It turns out later on, kind of after the statute of limitations were done, the Irish Republican Army basically eventually confessed to making about 10% of the votes that were occurring in Northern Ireland. They had whole taxi cab, armies of taxi cab drivers that would take people from one polling place to another so they could vote multiple times during the day there. And they had used fake IDs to go and create non-existent people to go and vote. You know, so, and you have similar stories in many other countries that used to have rules similar to what we have in the United States. People don't appreciate the history of voting regulations and vote fraud in the United States. We had, we didn't have secret ballots until relatively late in our country. The first state to adopt secret ballots was Kentucky in 1880. The last state to adopt secret ballots was South Carolina in 1950. And the main reason, the primary reason we moved to secret ballots was to stop vote fraud. What would used to happen is there would be a ballot box up in the front of the room, and people would drop in colored pieces of paper for whatever party they were going to vote for. And the parties would stand on either side of the ballot box, and they would see what colored piece of paper you were putting in there. And then they would pay the voters for voting.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, if they voted for the right party there. And by moving to secret ballots, and by the way, banning things like absentee ballots at the time, they could be sure how you voted. They couldn't be sure how you voted anymore, as they could when you didn't have secret ballots. So they couldn't pay people. And you would see about a 10 percentage point drop in voter turnout in states as soon as they moved to secret ballots, because some people, when they weren't getting paid, just didn't go and vote anymore. And so we have a history of massive vote fraud, you know, not just in Chicago and places like that, but you have a lot of places in this country where you have more people registered to vote than you have people who are of voting age living in those areas.
Wow.
A lot of states just refuse to go and clean up the voting rolls that were there. I lived in Nevada for a little while, and you would get, they send out ballots by mail and voting. And I got people who were living, four people who had previously lived in the apartment that I was living in at the time. You go through the mailroom there and you see ballots all over the floor.
Wow.
I mean, I could have picked up the ballots and mailed them in, and who would have caught me? You know, I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that type of thing. And I don't know who else, whether others would do it. But
you know, you go and pick up 50 ballots from the floor and you mail them in, how are they going to catch you?
Yeah.
For doing that.
Now, Dr. Lott, we're up against the break. And one question I wanted to ask you when we get back is, because of your knowledge of what you do, when you ran into a situation like that, I'm curious, maybe after the break, did you do something about it? Did you notify the election officials? Did you let them know what was going on? Or did you just go on your merry way and say, hey, I guess they have troubles here? So we're going to come right back. And we have Jeff waiting to talk with you as well when we come back after this.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Early on, a chance of rain and snow showers, becoming mostly cloudy through the afternoon as we warm up with highs near 47 degrees. Winds will pick up out of the west this afternoon. Some gusts could get up to about 26 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation about 40%. Little to no snow accumulation expected in those higher valleys. Tonight, partly cloudy and cold, down to about 22 degrees with clearing skies. Tuesday looks mostly sunny and milder with a high near 54.
Thanks for joining us on Talk Back on this Monday, March the 30th, and we're privileged to have Dr. John Lott joining us with the Crime Prevention Research Center. And folks have been lining up to talk with you, sir, and I believe Jeff is next. Jeff, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Lott.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on Harry's comment that it was his opinion that voter fraud is not widespread, and I would suggest to him and anybody else with that thought to use their favorite search engine on the internet and type in last Republican mayor of Chicago and see, start your journey there.
All right. Thanks for the call. Your thoughts, Dr. Lott.
Well, I mean, I lived in Chicago and I talked to a number of people who were kind of involved in voting and precinct captains and what have you. And, it's not just a few people who think that dead people vote in Chicago. I think a lot of people kind of openly acknowledge that vote fraud was responsible for Kennedy winning in the 1960 election there, as well as vote fraud in Texas. There's a long history of vote fraud that occurs in the United States. So the notion that somehow it doesn't occur, is just not serious.
Well, not only that, but there has to be a sincere desire in a place where that kind of action is happening, that the populace has to rise up and say, we need to stop this. Or do they simply not have the power?
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I guess there's an incentive for people who benefit from the fraud to keep on it going the way it is. You know, the interesting thing that I mentioned this earlier is in other countries across the political spectrum, people agree that you need to have these anti-fraud type positions. In Mexico, since 1991, you've had many different political parties in power there. And yet none of them have tried to undo, the voter ID or banning absentee ballots for people within Mexico. You have, whether it be England or Ireland or, Scandinavian countries or France or whatever, you just see a political agreement across the board. And one of the interesting things to me, there's a survey that I've been looking at a number of surveys about American views on this. And the people who are most against voter IDs are basically people with graduate educations and people who make over $200,000 a year.
Wow.
The people who are most supportive of it are people with less than high school or high school education. You know, the thing is, and if you look by race, it's something like about 84% of Hispanics, 76% of blacks do this. So the irony is the people who the concern is are going to be disenfranchised, the ones who have the least education, the lowest incomes, minorities, overwhelmingly support government-issued photo IDs and proof of citizenship to be able to go and vote. The ones who think that these people are going to be disenfranchised are the extremely educated, wealthy people, the ones who surely aren't going to be affected by this.
Amazing. Let's try to get another call in before we take a break. Sandy's been waiting. Sandy, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for coming on. My question is regarding the Missoula County ballots. If you vote absentee like I do, then when you put your when you return your envelope, it has your name on the outside of it, so the mailman or anyone can see who it is. I always hand in my ballot in person, not only because it saves taxpayer dollars, but people know who I am, and I'm very outspoken, a Republican. So I'm so there's always that thought in the back of my mind that if a mailman saw that it was me and probably assumes who I'm going to vote for, they can discard my ballot or do whatever they want with it without it actually getting to the ballot return place. So my question is, what are your thoughts on having voters' names on the outside of ballots for absentee ballots? Thank you.
Right. Well, in past elections, there's been accusations that mailmen have, you know, thrown away ballots that have been put in. There have been accusations that there have been, you know, that some mailmen have targeted ballots from the military overseas, you know, maybe because they think that they're going to be more conservative on average than your average voter. And you just have mistakes that occur, even if it's not politically motivated, you know, in terms of the mail. So, you know, I can understand why somebody would take it in. I think, you know, again, the interesting thing is just what an outlier we are in terms of absentee voting. The vast majority of countries around the world do not allow absentee voting for people who live in their countries. And they don't, even the ones that do allow, usually don't send out the absentee ballots in the mail. You have to go in person with the government-issued photo ID to be able to pick up the ballot, because they want to make sure that the person who's supposed to be voting that ballot is the one who gets it. So, you know, the types of rules that we have here in the United States where you don't have to prove that you have a good reason for getting an absentee ballot. You know, they'll just send it to you in the mail. You know, and the fraud occurs on both ends. You have people who will go and, you know, there's been a number of cases involving politicians on both sides of the political fence where people will know when absentee ballots are likely to be sent out and actually go to mailboxes to go and check to see if they can pull out the absentee ballots that are there for people and then go and vote them. There's a case in North Carolina a few years ago where somebody literally got many hundreds of absentee ballots like that and filled them out for the people and sent them in.
Wow. We're up against a break. We're going to come right back. We have an app question. We have Alan and Dave and more phone calls coming in for you, Dr. Lott. So thank you for sharing your expertise with us. This is a very good topic because it's an election year and we want to make sure that our vote counts and that we do it correctly and that we honor that tradition. So we're going to come right back after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Montana Senator Tim Sheehy believes the action against Iran over the past few weeks is proving the threat to the countries in the Middle East, the U.S., and its allies. Sheehy says administrations of both parties have failed to deal with the threat and terrorism that dates back to the Iranian Revolution in the late 1970s.
They've been killing Americans and essentially doing so with impunity for almost a half century. The response from successive American administrations on both parties, I might add, six presidencies, has really been to sanction them.
She contends allowing the Iranian regime to persist is like having a serial killer in the neighborhood. The city decides to merely fine and then even decides to pay us to stop killing us, referring to the various funding schemes that were enacted by previous administrations to stop nuclear development. Closer to home, a stiff prison sentence has been handed down against a Montana teen who was caught with some guns. Tracy Taylor has details.
A Billings teen will spend more than 3 years in federal prison after illegally possessing firearms. 19-year-old Andre Lamar Alexander was sentenced to 41 months months behind bars, followed by 3 years of supervised release. He was prohibited from having firearms due to a prior felony conviction. Police say the case began after reports he threatened a teenage girl while holding a gun. Officers later found a firearm and ammunition during his arrest, and investigators say he admitted to a second gun while in jail. In Billings, Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
The Montana Secretary of State's office may have been given a clean bill of health for handling funds from the federal government, but some lawmakers want to conduct their own audit as the controversy continues over how money was spent for a postcard mailing and sharing other voter information. The Daily Montanan reports SOS Christy Jacobson hasn't responded directly to questions about the mailing, which some reports have placed the cost as high as nearly $200,000 from the Help America Vote Act. Spokesman Richie Melby told the Daily Montanan the federal audit found no issues. However, the Legislative Audit Division is promising its own look at how the money was spent. This is the Montana State News Network.
Every act of change begins with a neighbor, with someone saying,
"We take care of each other here."
In food banks and food pantries, neighbors pack fresh food and dignity into every box, moving food from farms to families through Feeding America's nationwide network. So when that box reaches a home, it carries more than food. It carries a promise that together we can end hunger. Feeding America, led by neighbors. Take action to end hunger now at feedingamerica.org.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Talk Back, we're rolling right along this morning. Our special guest on the phone is Dr. John Locke with the Crime Prevention Research Center. And folks have been waiting quite a while, so we do have an app question. Nick, please, go ahead.
Yeah, Chad said, hi, Dr. Locke. A Second Amendment question. I just moved to Florida from Montana 2 months ago. House is sold. I'm all gone. I'm not yet a Florida resident, which means I can't buy a handgun here, and I'm no longer a Montana resident. He said, I can't go back to Montana to buy a handgun. I'd have to lie on my 4473 about my address. It seems I can legally buy a handgun anywhere. I'm in 2A purgatory. Do you know if this kind of situation has ever been litigated? And if so, what was the outcome?
Wow.
Federal law that basically requires that you have to be able to buy it in your own state. It should be pretty easy to quickly, get a driver's license in Florida and have proof of residency there. It shouldn't be something that should take any time to do that. As soon as he can go and get a driver's license there, he should be all set.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for the text.
I'm flattered to know that he's listening to us from Florida.
You bet. All right. Let's move on and get Alan on the line. Alan, good morning. You're on with Dr. Locke.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dr. Locke. It's great to talk to you. Good
morning.
Two things. One, I would encourage local Missoula residents, go to class to become a poll judge. I did that. I am going to be a poll judge. But you learn a lot about the election process. But the other reason why I'm calling is getting back to guns. And in this March edition of Guns and Ammo, they talk about doozies. And it's how ignorant our legislatures are in the nation. And I use this information to educate people. I'm going to cite two examples. One, the late Representative Karen McCarthy, Democrat, New York, she said, quote, when she was asked to define a barrel shroud, and she told then host Tucker Carlson, she replied, it's, quote, it's a shoulder thing that goes up, unquote. And the other one that I use to educate people, and I'd like to know if there's a list of some of these quotes somewhere. When I talked
to... Oh, no, I haven't collected those. But look, I actually debated her, I think, a couple times. You look at a lot of these laws that get passed, and, it's pretty clear that they don't know anything about guns. And... when the original assault weapons ban got passed, for example, Senator Feinstein had her staff go through catalogs of guns to go and pick out what guns to list there in the assault weapons ban based on how they looked. If the gun looks scary, you know, they put it on the list. Even though it functioned, fired the same bullets with the same rapidity, doing exactly the same damage, you know, as some other gun that they didn't think looked as scary. You know, so it's just, you know, you look at a lot of these laws and, you know, and just terminology, you know, people talk about silencers on guns. And I've talked to gun control people who honestly believe that, you know, that makes it so it's completely silenced. I guess they've been watching too many James Bond movies or something, you know, because the term that's usually used is suppressor, and it basically will reduce the sound of a gun to, you know, like that of a, being, you know, within 3 feet of a jackhammer. So it's not, you know, it's hardly silent. But, you know, unfortunately, that's, the people who are in favor of these laws don't own guns, have probably never gone shooting, don't know the differences between different types of guns. And, you know, and that includes a lot of the media, too. I can't tell you the number of times, because obviously I study things like mass public shootings and stuff, where the media will go and say an automatic weapon was used, or just called just about anything an assault weapon or whatever. You know, or talk about military weapons. You know, they have no clue what's going on with these things. So but the point that you're making is a general point.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Alan, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. We have Larry, Dave, and Jeff all waiting to visit with you, sir. And again, Dr. Lott will be with us till 10 o'clock this morning. A couple phone lines are still open. 721-1290. We'll be right back. Worried about
helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with YPOL. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step, telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We're back on Talk Back. Our special guest, Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center. Folks are lined up to talk with you, sir. Let's get to it. Larry, I believe, is next. Larry, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott.
Good morning, Dr. Lott. Thanks for being on the show again. I subscribe to a group called Judicial Watch, and one of their major focuses is voter integrity in our elections. And they file Freedom of Information Acts with these states and that have voter rolls that have not complied with the National Voting Rights Act. And over the over the last few years, they have been very successful in getting these states to comply with that. And as a result, they've removed between 5 and 6 million people from the voter rolls that were no longer supposed to be on there. And each one of those voters may not have voted illegally, but we have certainly cut down the potential for voter irregularities by removing these people as required by federal law. And I just wondered if you would like to comment on that.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, and I appreciate your comment, thanks. You know, you have places in this country where you have more people registered to vote than you have, you know, voting age people living in those areas. The Trump administration has been really trying to do serious work on this. Unfortunately, a number of these Democratic states are refusing to turn, even though they're mandated under federal law, to turn over their voter registration lists. And they're fighting it in court and trying to delay it as much as possible. But, you know, the problem that you face is that if you have more people registered, you know, dead people or people who just don't exist registered to vote, then, you know, you can have people use those registrations to go and vote. The Trump administration also wants to go and check to see the citizenship status of these individuals. You know, the thing is, we had Harry call earlier saying that there wasn't fraud that was occurring. It would seem like this would be a pretty easy thing for Democrats to go and do to help make their case, if they want to, that fraud isn't a serious issue. But if you have people that shouldn't be on the list, but their registrations are still being used to vote, that seems like that should be something that concerns people. And if illegals are voting, you know, they discovered literally thousands of illegals that were voting in Texas, even though they had been checking the voter rolls before that. They still discovered thousands had gotten through. You know, I see things like we had somebody earlier asking about being able to buy a gun. I came across a news story a little while ago where there was an illegal alien in Ohio who had literally bought through licensed dealers something like 145 guns. You know, we just don't do a very good job of checking the legal status, whether somebody's an American citizen or legally in the United States, for even something like whether they can go and purchase guns, let alone checking to see whether or not they're legally able to register to vote.
All right, let's get Walt on the line. He's got a question for you. Walt, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being on, Dr. Lott. Anyway,
my question. Thank Peter and Nick for having me on.
Oh, okay. A question regarding illegal voting. It seems the O'Keefe Media Group released a video of homeless in LA's Skid Row, where they're being the signature gathers on petition and voter registration are getting paid $7 to $10 a name, and they're making up to $1,000 a day. But these fraudulent ballots are, or voting registration on the homeless, you know, for example, they'll list, well, what's your address? Well, Pinocchio Lane, or don't even answer it, or just, you know, use a fake address. So when somebody says that, well, the voting fraud is not material, I don't think we really know how much fraud is out there. Do you have any idea how bad it is?
Good question. Thanks, Walt.
Thank you.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, I've published a lot of peer-reviewed academic research on this stuff. And I can tell you historically, when we went to secret ballots, when people weren't getting paid anymore for doing that, you saw about a 10 percentage point drop in voter turnout when people weren't being paid. You know, some people didn't want to go and vote when they weren't getting paid anymore for voting. So that's the type of stuff. The big problem that you have with identifying vote fraud is that people being paid to vote, both the vote buyer and the vote seller have an incentive to hide the transaction because they're both benefiting from it. Or if I'm just voting because, you know, it's a political cause, and you have, you know, every once in a while, there's a case in Pennsylvania where this woman was caught. She was actually living in New Jersey, but she had voted something like 140 times in one Pennsylvania election. You know, it's hard to find that. When I was at Wharton, the Wharton Business School, I had a monthly column that I wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And they had me in one time to, or a couple times, to go and meet with the editorial board. And the funny thing was, all these newspaper guys openly talked about how the Democrats would go and have buses that would take people from one polling place to another. Wow. That was there. You know, obviously they kind of agreed with all that. They weren't going to run news stories about it happening. But, you know, when you look at Europe, the case I was talking about before with France, basically you just found it because you had some people who had guilty consciences because they saw literally hundreds of thousands of illegal votes being cast in elections. After the statute of limitations for charging people with crimes had elapsed for Ireland, you had people with the IRA going and basically telling people, you know, in the media and academics, yeah, you know, we had these whole fleet of cabs going around. Wow. Yeah, it just, we see the need to have IDs, as I mentioned before, even to check into a hotel, okay? Because presumably we're concerned about people not being honest with regard to that. Yet something where obviously, I mean, look at the amount of money that gets spent on elections. We had something like $1.5 billion spent by Kamala Harris's campaign. If you're going to spend that much money, and, you know, surely people have heard of stories of walking around money and stuff like that in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and places, other places. If you're going to be spending that much per vote, why not pay some people to go and vote and the thing is, things like absentee ballots and vote harvesting, you know, one of the reasons when we moved to a secret ballot, states did not allow absentee ballots at that time was because they were worried that you would just have vote buying for absentee ballots because I could show you how I voted. Wow. And then if you had, on top of that, if you have ballot harvesting where you could go and give the ballot to somebody else to turn in for you, then the person who's paying for it can not only verify how you're voting, but know that the vote is going to be turned in. And so they're willing to pay much more for that than they are, in a situation where, you just tell them how you voted. Obviously, they're not willing to do that with a pure secret ballot.
With that, we're up against a break. We're going to come right back. Dave, Jeff, Tim, and Charlie are all still waiting. We're trying to get as many calls in as we can for Dr. Lott in the remaining time we have. We'll be back right after this.
As the days start.
Welcome back to Talk Back. Our special guest this morning, Dr. John Lott of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Charlie has been waiting the longest. Charlie, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I was watching a video the other day of the Minnesota legislature. They were having some sort of committee meeting. They were questioning the election commissioner about the process. And apparently, in Minnesota, illegals can get a driver's license. So that illegal alien can go to a polling place with his driver's license, sign a piece of paper that says he is, in fact, a U.S. citizen, and he can vote that day as well. But he can vouch for up to 8 other people of them being citizens, and they can vote that day. So I guess my question or my wondering is, how can there ever be a free and fair election in Minnesota, or I don't know, maybe California is the same way. I think they offer illegals driver's licenses as well. But I just found that that's ripe for fraud right there. I mean, I can't believe that could even pass. But the other part of my question or comment is the U.S. Constitution. Don't they give the states the authority to set their own election laws? So I'm wondering how that would flesh out with the SAVE Act. If it's just federal elections that you have to prove your citizenship, or is it? Is where I'm coming from there?
Right. Well, it is. It does deal with just federal elections. But, you know, there are things that the federal government can do to kind of create incentives also for changing rules. You can go and say, look, you get so much money from the federal government. We're going to make, you know, whether we give you some money conditional on whether you adopt certain types of laws. I mean, they do that for all sorts of things, you know.
Oh, yeah, they did it for the highway
or whatever.
Yeah, the highway speed limit back in the day.
And so they can do that also. Now, there's a recent Supreme Court decision that kind of limits the size of kind of the financial incentive that's there that you can make for it. But you can still have those incentives there for sure.
All righty.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. All right, that means Dave is up next. Dave, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. As I understand the system, when I sign my mail-in ballot, send it in, my signature is compared to my signature that I've registered in the past to and is on record. And if that signature is different enough to cause a question mark, the vote is put to the side, and I get a letter from the government telling me my signature has been, my ballot has been questioned, and to contact them. Now, I mean, if you're running off and signing all these absentee ballots that's laying around on the ground, you're going to have to sign them pretty close to the original, or they're going to be thrown out anyway. Okay. As far as,
well, first of all, during the 2020 election, for all practical purposes, a lot of states, simply because they were dealing with so many mail-in ballots, did not check the signatures that were there. If you look at the rate that they would disqualify signatures compared to previous elections, you know, usually you'd be talking about a disqualification rate of like 2% or so. You're talking about hundredths of one percentage point that were being disqualified. In some places, it was effectively zero that they were disqualifying. So, you know, and also some states, you have to understand when they check it, they basically, some states use a computer system to go and check it, but it's not really matching it up in the way that you're thinking. It's just they have basically what they call a 3-point system there just to see, does it increase and decrease? And, you know, the people who do that are more than happy to tell you, and I've talked to them, that there's huge error rates in terms of whether or not, you know, if you look at it yourself as opposed to using that system, you would see signatures don't match that get approved by the system there. So, you know, I don't think, particularly during the 2020 election, it did not work the way you're thinking.
Okay, thanks for the call. We're going to take a one-minute timeout. When we return, we will we'll get Jeff and Tim on, and I want to say thank you again to Dr. John Lott for sharing this 90 minutes with us. We're going to come right back after this.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update, brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
The Grizzly softball team, they have now won 6 games in a row after completing the sweep against the Portland State Vikings yesterday. Final score, 5-4. The Grizz were tied in the 6th inning. Montana would pull ahead. They've now won 6 games in a row. They begin 3-0 in Big Sky Conference play. The Grizzlies are now 11-22 overall. They will welcome in Northern Colorado this weekend. Doubleheader on Friday. That begins at 2 o'clock. And then Saturday, a single game at noon. The Montana State women's basketball team, their season comes to an end in the Super 8 of the WNIT bracket. 65-56, South Dakota takes down the Bobcats. Taylee Cherick still had a great day leading the way for the Bobcats. She had 4 made threes, 23 total points. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Auerwein.
Hey, we are back on Talk Back, a final segment with Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center. And Jeff has been waiting. So, Jeff, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Dr. Lott, good to talk with you again.
My favorite news source, the Babylon Bee, recently had an article that said Democrats push for death certificate as a form of voter ID. And in Texas, it was a tradition that dead people would vote. I mean, it's a time-honored tradition.
Well, so, people read, what is it, the Ascent, Caro's book on Lyndon Johnson, and how he got the name Landslide Lyndon, about all the massive vote fraud that was occurring there. You know, you'd wait until the other side's precincts had been turned in, and then you turn yours in, you know, when you realized how many votes you had to make up there.
Yeah, you don't vote until you know how many you need.
Yeah, his books.
Oh, it's more efficient that way.
Yeah. The one example of Minnesota is very prime, but so is Oregon. Just recently in January, I believe, that the Department of Justice forced Oregon to remove 800,000, not 800, but 800,000 inactive voters from their rolls. And that left about 3.2, I guess. But yeah, a huge, huge number.
Right. Well, I mean, that is prime for vote fraud. You know, the thing is, in Oregon, they have mail-in voting. So you have the ballots going out there. And, you know, if you have non-existent people who are registered to vote and somebody's getting those ballots, you know, you have a lot of votes that shouldn't be voted there.
Yeah. But earlier in the show, you mentioned about anti-Semitism and attacks on synagogues and Jewish people and that sort of thing. But I was listening over to a podcast over the weekend, and there's a disturbing rise on what I call the woke right. Some folks call it Christian nationalism, but it's to blame Israel for everything, for all the problems in our country. Again, the rise of anti-Semitism, in particular, that Donald Trump is just a pawn of the Jews, and that he wouldn't have gone in and bought Iran if it wasn't for Bibi Netanyahu coercing him.
Right. Well, I mean, you have a few people like Joe Kent, and I guess maybe Tucker Carlson, and a few people like that, which kind of stoke those things. But I think, you know, you just look at the demonstrations, and I think it's overwhelmingly a problem on the other side of the fence. But, you know, it's disturbing to see it any place, and, you know, it's something that needs to be called out.
Thanks for the call, sir.
I just worry about the folks on the right falling prey to this idea that somehow we're being manipulated by the dreaded Jews. And
right. Well, I mean, it's a disturbing thing for people any place to be to believe that type of craziness. But you point it out when you see it.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's try to get one more call in. Tim has been waiting quite a while. Tim, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Lott. My name is Colonel Tim Garvey. And I'd like to change subject here. A few weeks ago, after the invasion of Iran, there was a attack at Old Dominion University, the Virginia ROTC, PMS, which is Professor of Military Science.
We only have about 3 minutes left, Tim, so please quickly.
Yeah, he was shot and killed. And what I'm asking about is, see, the students, instead of running away, they attacked him, and they rendered him unalive, as words of the FBI. Have you heard anything more about the this attack at Old Dominion?
Well, I mean, I know the guy yelled Allah Akbar when he did it. I know the students had, one of them had a knife with them, which I guess was against the school rules for him to be able to go and carry. So, you know, I'm not sure what more you want to know about it, but obviously
The fact that the guy yelled that out to begin with gives you some good idea of what his motivations were. And we had a number of those attacks in the first half of March. You know, the same day you had that attack at Temple Israel in Michigan. You know, and you had the attack in Austin, Texas, that occurred shortly before that, earlier in March. So, I mean, there are like four of these attacks in the United States just in the first couple of weeks of the month.
Well, John, we're almost out of time. Real quickly, where can we find your work?
Well, at our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. And as usual, you know, people can sign up for our emails. We send out an email once every 2 weeks. And they'll get my email address and, you know, they can send me questions.
Sounds good. Dr. Lott, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for spending time with us and answering all our questions today. We appreciate it, sir.
Well, thanks for being there and thanks for having me on.
You bet. Look forward to our next visit as well. All right. So, Mr. Nick, as we are done with Monday's show, we got to look forward to Tuesday, sir. What's coming up?
Yeah, we'll have a forestry specialist, Dr. Peter Kolb, and then hopefully Cindy Perrin will be able to join him as well from 8 to 10.
Sounds good, yeah. Always a fountain of information, both of those individuals. And I know personally, I learn a lot whenever they're standing over there in that part of the studio. I just try to keep my mouth shut and try to absorb as much as I can from people who are very, very intelligent and very good at what they do. And the same thing is good for Dr. Lott and all of you folks. And thank you so much for calling in. You guys really hit it out of the park with the number of calls today. Thank you very, very much for doing that. We appreciate it. That's what TalkBack is all about, and you're making it so. So on behalf of Nick Christensen, I want to say thank you for joining us, and we look forward to tomorrow's visit again. We'll be visiting with our friend Peter Kolb, and we hope that you will get your questions together and get ready to have a conversation with him. So thanks for joining us. Have a great day, everybody. And get out and enjoy the day. If you like clouds, this is your day today. So till tomorrow, have a great day, everybody.